Hey, you want that to go?
So our news takeouts this morning begin with Louise Story, finance reporter for the New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
And, you know, with all due respect to Barack Obama and General Petraeus coming up in a few minutes, it seems to me that your story that we're going to talk about is probably the most important to consumers right now. And it involves a piece in the New York Times today all about how data networks, wireless data networks involving smartphones and other cell phones, are really getting clogged. And the capacity is affecting people's ability to even communicate. First of all, why don't these networks seem to scale?
Well, the networks are a fixed commodity, and as you have more and more new devices introduced, they're adding applications that take up a lot more of it. So, you know, let's just start thinking you've got a cell phone, you make phone calls, that takes up a certain usage. Then cell phones like the iPhone became more advanced and added email and web surfing, and that takes up a lot more bandwidth on the network. Now, the news this week is this iPad, this new tablet computer from Apple, which is also going to go on the very same AT&T network that your iPhone is on. So picture this, John. You're sitting on a train. You're just trying to use your cell phone to read your email or surf the web, but the person next to you is watching live sports on this new Apple tablet computer, and they're taking up 7.5 times the bandwidth of you that you are, and so it's slowing you down.
Well, the issue is, first of all, the rich media potential of this iPad, which is a screen, full color.
That's what people are paying for when they buy it.
And they're paying not only for the device in this particular case, they're paying for the ability to sit on the train and do that.
And watch live sports.
And what the New York Times is reporting is that, in fact, that character isn't going to necessarily be watching live sports any more than I'm going to be able to text, because the entire system freezes up at a certain point.
You know, it's become a joke that AT&T is just so slow. There was an amazing figure that AT&T released in their earnings recently. It was the amount of data usage, and it has gone up 7,000% since 2006.
Wow.
So it is just exploding, but the bandwidth is not there. Now, they do something in other countries, some cell phone companies do, that we might have to have here eventually, which is more of a tiered usage system for pay. Right now, the phone companies...
A tiered system,
see, right. So you pay more if you use a lot more. Right now, a lot of the phone companies are encouraging this heavy use by offering unlimited plans. And in fact, with this new Apple tablet, there's a $30 use all you want.
Wow.
And,
wow,
you know, with just like natural resources, you've got to, when you hit limitation, you've got to charge for it.
Maybe they shouldn't be called smartphones. Pig phones.
Pig phones. Hogging up the space.
Louise Story, thanks so much.
Now let's get an update on the Australian Open, which is going on as we speak. New York Times sports writer Joe Drape is in Australia, and we have a match going on right now that's going to determine who gets to play Roger Federer. How does it look?
Right now, Celeste, I'm going to say good day as they do it down here. Martin Cilic is losing to Andy Murray, the scrambling Scotsman. And it looks like Murray, who's never won a Grand Slam, is going to be the guy who advances to play Roger Federer, who's arguably the greatest tennis player of all time, with 15 Grand Slam final victories.
All right. Well, the other big story is Serena. Right now, she is playing in this is her fifth Australian Open final. She's won 4 of them. What are her chances heading into this next round?
She looks terrific down here, but it's a great story. She's playing Justine Henin. Justine has 7 slam titles, but 2 years ago, after a divorce, after being born out emotionally and physically, she retired. She walked away from it, and she came back this summer. This is only her second tournament back. She was playing as a wild card, unranked. Basically, they just gave her an entry in, and she has battled through 6 terrific matches and earned her way to try to win an 8th title against Serena. And it's really interesting that they're a battle of styles. Justine's 5-5. She runs. She covers the court. She has a slice and drop shot and passing. I mean, she's more of a tactical speed player. And Serena, her serve today, she was just out of this world. And she waxed a Chinese girl making 86% of her first serve. So, it gives a little glamour to the women final.
Okay, Joe Drape, New York Times sports writer, author of Our Boys. He's in Australia covering the Australian Open.
In our last takeout, You Deliver, we've got voices from our listeners talking about all kinds of things on the program. And we've been asking for your 6-word assessment on the state of our union. With the president's address last night, we want to get your reactions as well. Did the president say what you wanted to hear? More of the same? What were your takeaway moments?
This is Michael from New York City. I thought the speech was outstanding. The tone was correct. The rhetoric was correct. Also, I think he addressed all the issues that the American people wanted to be addressed, particularly the division between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Score the speech with us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post it on our website, thetakeaway.org.
There's actually a great conversation going on that website. Lots of people reacting to my discussion yesterday with a lucky survivor of the Haiti earthquake. Gabo Aurora worked with the United Nations Stabilization Mission in Haiti. And after the quake, he used his UN credentials to get access to the airport.
And basically, I went on the tarmac and I saw a plane that was empty. That was a private jet with some Dominicans. I speak Spanish. I talked to them, and they offered me a ride out. And I drove alone in luxury, bizarrely enough, through that chaos.
Gabo eventually made his way back home to New York. But Ben writes on our website with a strong reaction. He says, I'm encouraged to hear Gabo survived. You couldn't have picked a more privileged and uncommon survival story. He has a home in New York, a job, unlike most Haitians, a UN salary, an escape on a private jet, and the ability to leave the chaos behind. All this, and he only picked up a little dysentery. To get a real story about a Haitian survival story, how about leaving NYC and actually speaking to a real Haitian who can't leave?
So Jillian wrote back, it's unpleasantly surprising that people are so quick to criticize. I think Gabo should be commended for the work that landed him in Haiti in the first place, and that is peacekeeping in a country long forgotten by most of the rest of the world. Perhaps he didn't lose his family or a place to stay in another country, but having lost close friends, co-workers, his home, all of his belongings, it's got to be devastating. You can pick up the conversation from there by weighing in and going to our website, thetakeaway.org. Coming up, what's the state of our union? The president gave his take last night, but we'll also go to the head of U.S. Central Command, General David Petraeus, in a few minutes.